So what's the role then of finding a mentor and helping you move along in one's career in this regard?
Well, scientific training, I think, really requires a couple prolonged periods of intense investigation for one to sort of develop their skills.
And prolonged adolescence, is that what you're describing?
Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of trial and error in learning how to apply science and how to do it correctly. And it's typically done through acquiring a PhD or working in somebody's lab for a long period of time, long period being several years, where you get a chance to take on a scientific project, develop hypotheses, figure out how to do experiments, see when those experiments don't work, how to revise what you're doing. Typically, after that, you have some idea of what you're doing, but then you've only really worked on what your first mentors worked on. And most folks who are going to become successful scientists will then go on and have a postdoctoral research experience, oftentimes after finishing their PhD, sometimes after finishing an MD, where they work again closely with another scientist. But this time, they have some of those skills already in hand, and now they're ready to begin to develop their own scientific ideas and hypotheses for what they actually want to study and have a passion for and their to sustain their career in research.
It doesn't just have to be a wet lab, if you can use that word, scientist. It could be somebody who was interested in epidemiology or computational biology. The same sorts of training would be required.
Sure, and UNC has great examples of scientists who work in very clinically oriented areas in genomics and bioinformatics. We have a tremendous School of Public Health with some of the greatest epidemiologists in the country here. All of them are doing science, and all of those fields require significant training beyond what you would get in medical school.